we have mine. One verse up there that we're talking about, Dakota. So this is our verse that we're kind of like leaning on, and we're kind of splitting the verse up in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. So this side over here is our side. My side, your side, our side. We stay on this side of the promise, the verse, right here. This is what we do. In all our ways acknowledge him. And then we simply allow God to do his part. Now, is there another verse up there that we put up there? One of my favorite verses of scripture is many, many verses in the scripture is an A part and a B part. And so you almost split it down the middle. We kind of talked about an imaginary verse 3 through 6. Genesis 37, 3 through 6. Look what it says there. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. The Bible says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even the more. In verse 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray ye, this dream which I have dreamed. Now, a couple of things just right off the bat that we see here that just speaks volumes. It just jumps out at you. And it's that we have here where Israel, which is Jacob, okay, his name was changed to Israel, but it's Jacob. Jacob loved Joseph more than his other children. Now, can I just say it? I've said it before from the pulpit. I said it before here at Sprouting Baptist Church. But parental favoritism, never good, never healthy, never right. Now, as a parent, I've got two children. There's been times where I liked one of my children more than the other one because our fellowship was broken. It never meant that I favored one over the other. So we get that. But here, it's going on. In this family of Jacob, is 12 children, and so we see it just in live and in color. Now, there is one thing worse than loving, preferring one child over another. What could be worse? Here's what's worse. We see it here in Scripture. Is when the parents make it known. The parents verbalize it. The parents tell everybody. I mean, kids get it. They pick up on it. But when the parents are just open and verbal about it and say, everybody knows this is my favorite, and they let it be known, and they simply tell everybody, hey, it's very, very obvious. You get two brothers, and they graduate. And I was a twin, so everything I did, we had birthday parties together and graduations together and all the things together. And so I was a twin. And so you got twins. And so if my sister, for a birthday party, might have got like a Honda four-wheeler, four-wheel drive, ATV, off-road. And then I open my present, and it's a Zedco 33, all right? You can get the picture. It's unfair. And I'm not saying that happened to me. I'm just saying that it's sometimes very obvious. Parental favoritism is anti-Bible, it's anti-good parenting, it's anti-everything you have to be the right kind of family, and so we got to be careful to do it. It don't mean that you don't like a child that kind of keeps their nose clean and stays out of trouble. It does all, hey, we all get it. But you can't show the favoritism, and that's what happens here in this dysfunctional, crazy family. So Dad goes overboard by, he makes a coat of many colors and gives it to Joseph next to the youngest son. Now, this robe had a very, very distinction to it. In those days, the custom and the culture told everybody what it meant when Dad gave a coat like this to one of the sons. It set Joseph apart from all his older brothers, 10 older brothers. And Bible scholars said this robe was probably made with large sleeves. It no doubt was adorned with types of ornaments that pointed to the importance of it. it identified Joseph, who had 10 older brothers, in a culture and custom where the oldest down is the pecking order. It identified Joseph as the one that would be head of the household if daddy dies. So it was obvious, it was open, it was out there for people to see and to know. And it normally was bestowed on the firstborn, the oldest, but in this case, it's the youngest at the time. And he's going to have a younger brother later. And so the coat caused Joseph many, many troubles with his siblings, his brothers. And so he has a dream, and it talks about the dream. Well, Joseph goes and shares the dream with his brothers, which was not a wise thing to do, but that's kids will be kids, siblings are siblings. And he shared that dream, and in the dream it just showed that, hey, he was going to be in charge. He's large in charge. He's picked over them. He's going to be take the daddy's place. He's going to be called the shots. And the brothers could not accept that. They already seen dad showing favoritism. They already seen the gift he got with all the different colored coat of many colors, and now he's like talking about it. Now, what he should have done is just acknowledge the Lord, in all thy ways acknowledge him. But that's not what he did. And so, lo and behold, the brothers hated him. They not only hated Joseph, but then the Bible says that they hated him even more than they hated him the day before that he told them the dream. And then it talks about that it went from hate to hate more to now they envy is their brother. And that's how it took place. And so, therefore, all out revenge. Brothers are going to be all out revenge on their little brother. And so they begin to huddle up. They begin to talk among themselves. They begin to simply brainstorm, what can we do with this bad seed in our family? What can we do? And they plot and they plan. And they prepare to kill their brother. Now, think about it, dysfunctional family. Think about it, here it goes, man. They are going to kill Joseph. And so they kill him, or they set him up. And lo and behold, they're going to kill him. And so they simply, instead of killing him, they said, that's a little extreme. We'll just let him die on his own of natural causes. We'll put him in a pit over here. And we will just leave him alone. We'll keep no water, no food. Wild animals could get him. So we'll just let that happen. They strip him from strip the coat of many colors from him. And they go kill a wild animal, an animal. And they soak the coat in the colors or in the blood of that wild animal. They take that back to their daddy, Jacob, whose name's changed to Israel. And they said, oh, dad, we're not sure. We just found this coat. And man, think about doing that to a dad. Dysfunctional family. How horrible, how terrible. Well, they got Joseph, they leave him in a pit over here, and that he can't get out of, humanly speaking, and lo and behold, here comes a just right place, right time. That's how God works when you acknowledge him. He just shows up, and lo and behold, a group of strangers come through there, some merchants come through there, and they end up saying, look, we ought to make something off this. We could sell him for something as a slave, and they sell their brother, Joseph, for 20 pieces of silver. They sell him into slavery, to some foreign people they don't know. They're trying to make a profit, or they're going to make the story up for their dad. And they're just messed up. And we see that. And Joseph ends up being a slave in a foreign country, being a slave to in a foreign customs, all the customs and cultures different. And Joseph is simply there and in a bad position. And lo and behold, the Bible says over and over and over, the 17-year-old boy, that God was with him, that God was with him, that God was with him. Through all this, the Bible says that God was with Joseph. And then it says that God prospered Joseph. And so the story, you know the story. It's a story that we all know a lot about. And so, what an amazing thing. Someone said, well, that Joseph, everything, he was just a lucky guy. Yeah, Brother Don, you got this guy. Man, just everything that just turned around for him. And he really had no struggles. And he really never really had a hardship. I mean, here he is, you know. And whoa, he's 17 years old. He's been hated by his family. He's been schemed on by his family. He's been sold by his family. He's been sold to people they don't know. And it was God that got him. Because you know why? Because God directs the path. It wasn't Joseph directing his path. It wasn't Joseph having a game plan for what he's going to do when he gets over there. No, it was God. He just simply acknowledged the God of heaven, the true and living God. Didn't suck his thumb, didn't pout about it, didn't whine about it. He just simply trusted God, and God simply blessed him. That's our job. Our job is to acknowledge him. Our job in all thy ways, acknowledge him and leave him. Leave the future, leave tomorrow, leave what's coming up to the Lord. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And in all these series we're talking about, it's just faith. In God I trust, faith. Faith to trust in God. And we can all do that. And that's exactly what we see. Now, I just wanted to encourage us this morning that God wants, he sees you and I different than we see ourselves. You see, God wants you to win. God wants me to win. God wants you prosperous. And he wants me prosperous. That don't mean that we're going to be millionaires. It don't mean that. It just means that God's got a plan for your life and my life. And so he wants you prosperous. He wants me prosperous. He wants you winning. He wants me winning. He wants me getting ahead. He wants you getting ahead. He's a father, and he loves you and me. And as a father, he simply wants the best for you and I. He wants us to be successful. And so we need to keep that in mind, because that's the God we serve. It's the God that these characters we talked about serve. It's the God that you and I serve. And the God has the same vision for his children. Now, in chapter 39, the Bible says that Joseph steps up in a new role. He's been called to Potiphar's house to be the servant of the house. So Joseph wouldn't whine about it. He didn't just lay around. He didn't complain about it. No, he just stepped up. Joseph stepped up. He worked hard. He was industrious. He was responsible. He was. He had a good attitude and a good spirit that, hey, I'm here. I don't know why I'm here, but hey, while I'm here, I'm going to do what the master said. What Potiphar said is what I'm going to do. And man, did he. And the Bible says that he became not just a servant in the house of Potiphar, but he became the overseer of the whole estate. Now, it probably wouldn't be great to be a slave to a foreigner that has different customs and cultures that you and I would know about. But hey, if you're going to be there, it would probably be better to be the overseer than to be on the bottom rung of the ladder. And we see God working in Joseph's life. Things have turned around for Joseph. He was given away. He was sold. He was hated. He was envied. He was schemed about. Now, all of a sudden, he is overseer of the house of Potiphar, one of the top important people in that land. And so we see that's what God does. God directs paths. That's what God does. We don't always understand it. We don't always accept it. But that's what God does. And we've seen it so far in the series. We see it today. Hey, he acknowledged the Lord, and God just prospered him and blessed him and had favor on him and saw great things take place. Well, then we read in the story, you know this part of the story, then we read in the story that Potiphar's wife, one of the two or three most powerful men in the land, Potiphar has married, he has a wife. Well, his wife began looking at Joseph in a wrong way. Shouldn't have been looking at him. Shouldn't have been staring at him. Shouldn't have had an eye for him. Shouldn't have had observed every move he made. She'd been watching. She's been looking. In other words, let me just put it in 2022 terms. There was electricity flowing. Not between two people, but between one person toward another person, but from Potiphar's wife to Joseph. Electricity was there. She was looking at him in the wrong way. Now, we see here that she says to him, you know the story, but Potiphar's wife, no doubt beautiful, no doubt gorgeous, no doubt powerful, no doubt put together well. But she says to this young teenage boy that got put in this position, she says, come and lie with me. It's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. You know what that means as well as me. She's offering him. She's opening herself up to him. She said, hey, I've been watching you. I've been looking at you. Hey, come and lie with me. Now, I would just call that a pretty direct approach. I mean, it can't get much more upfront, more brazen, more shamelessly aggressive. She says, come and lie with me. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says this, for the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb. Now that's that. That's a two-part verse. We talk about two-part verse, an A-part and a B-part. So it says, hey, be careful. The lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb. But the rest of that verse says, but her end is bitter as wormwood. Whoa. And so we see this in the Bible where Joseph stays on his side and he says, how can I do this? How can I do this? This woman's propositioning herself. And he says, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Now, here's a guy that had no supervision. He was the supervisor. Here's someone that's not watching him other than Potiphar's wife. He was in large and in charge. Here's a guy that could get by with a lot of things because they trusted him. And lo and behold, day by day, the Bible says, it wasn't just occasional one thing. The Bible says day by day, moment by moment, made herself available to a young boy, a young teenage boy that's from a foreign country. And then when you look at this story, you go like, man, these are complete opposites. You know, Potiphar's wife is older and Joseph is younger and Potiphar's wife is married and Joseph is single and Potiphar's wife is an Egyptian and we got Joseph who's a Hebrew. All these different dynamics that are so different, complete opposites. Here's a woman has no morals, and you got Joseph, this young foreigner who was just Mr. Moore. And we got someone that is just open to anything goes, and we've got him. She's fleshly and he's spiritual. Two different. I mean, it's just going on through the scripture. Can I just tell you this real quick, a teachable moment as we're right on this part of the service? Joseph was principled. His primary, leading, most dominant strength is he was a principled young man. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, here's what it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. We talked about the earlier scripture about how Jesus was teaching his disciples things to understand in scripture. Well, this is principle. And in Proverbs 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Joseph says, how can I do this thing? How can I do this thing that is like this in God's eyes? I can't do it. Now, she falsely accuses him. The Potiphar's wife falsely accuses Joseph. He's totally innocent. You and I know it. The Bible says it. And he gets blamed. He gets thrown in prison, falsely accused. Joseph's life, I mean, think about his life. I mean, it's a roller coaster, man. His dad showed favoritism. It wasn't nothing he did. Made him a coat of many colors. It wasn't nothing he did. His brothers got mad about it. It wasn't nothing he did. God simply placed that on him, gave him a dream that someday it would all come to fruition about the dreams. And lo and behold, they hate him, they envy him, they scheme, they put him up for the slave market and sell him, and now all of a sudden he's falsely accused for doing right, for being principled, for simply doing what he should have done, what we would hope anybody would do, and lo and behold, there it is. And what happens is God leads him in prison. Where everybody else is complaining, the baker and the butler are complaining to him who are in jail for the right reason, and Joseph's countenance was right. Even in jail, he was above board. Even in jail, he was acknowledging the Lord. Even in jail, he was trusted with that hidden faith to trust the God of heaven and all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, Joseph became the ruler of the prison. Wow, God's with him. God's blessing him. God's prospering. Not good to be in prison, but if you get to be the warden of prison, that might be a little bit better gig than being on the bottom of the pecking order. And the Bible says that Joseph was 30 years old. He was 17 when they got sold. Now he's 30. He's a grown young man. And he is the second most highest position in all the land. God put him there. God raised him up. He called the shots for the country. Only one guy above him, Joseph, a foreigner, simply rose to the top because he stayed on his side of the verse, his side of the promise, his side of what his job was. And the next thing you know, he reveals himself to those boys, his brothers. The next thing you know, they simply honor him. And the next thing you know, God simply ends the whole story with Joseph being reunited with his father, his family. They all came from Canaan to Goshen, to the most fertile land of Egypt, to raise their families and to continue that family, all because God took a man that had Egypt faith, small faith, and applied it right. Now, at the end of the chapter, the Bible says that they were ashamed, the brothers were ashamed to face Joseph when he revealed himself. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, you meant it for evil. Genesis chapter 15. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Now, some of you might be here. You might know somebody. You might have family members, and they're going through some stuff, and they're going like, man, what's God doing? What's God doing? He don't hear my prayers, and what's God doing? I get no breaks in life. Hey, sometimes we got to realize that, hey, the world might mean it for evil. God's got a plan. God wins in the end. Our job is just to let him win. Not try to help him out. Not try to work it out. Not try to fix it all. But let him be the fixer, because that's what he does. Hey, that's what it says. You meant it for evil, boys. Brothers, y'all just meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And here we are. It all worked out. Because God's the master of directing our paths. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Dysfunctional family. My, how God was. My, how God came through. My, how God took somebody that you or I would never take and moved him to the top of the chain. He's at large. He's in charge. He's in control. He calls the shots. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants for your life and my life. That's what God wants. We have to have faith. Just a measure of faith. Trust him and leave it to him to get us where faith. And I hope that just helps today. I hope God spoke to you. Our Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, you take the simple message, this familiar story. Lord, help us to realize afresh and anew that we're on the winning side, that we win, that victory's ours. We can be spiritual champions. In God, you get all the glory. You get all the glory. Father, that's what we want. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, to give you our hope. We pray you bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll lead as you can sing with him. We can help you come.
Jesus, are you
anybody?
Grieving?
All our ways,
Lord, we tell it to Jesus alone.
Delight thyself in the Lord, and in the times of your heart.
Jesus, tell it to Jesus, he is the friend that's well known. Such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone.
Good looking crowd today. Delighted you're here today. I want you to look around.